21. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. We're looking at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, the theme of this chapter, as he enters into it, we're going to look at the first four verses tonight, is going to be the sign of Christ's return to the earth. And the key verse is going to be verse 2, which we'll read here in a moment. We got 38 verses, 820 words, all inspired by God and kept forever in this chapter at a 5.6 grade level. And as we look into verse 1, the Bible says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." As he approaches this chapter and he knows what he's fixing to get into, the one thing he does as he starts is it says he's just looking around and watching people. We want to look at what he saw tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at words about a widow. Words about a widow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. And Lord, while we're here tonight, God, that you'll help us, Lord, as we look into your word. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That God, that you'll show us great and mighty things we know not. We pray, God, that you'll just help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look at this, I want you to hold your place here and turn over to John chapter 7 for a second. There's a thing that people mess up on. They don't understand the Bible. And when I say people don't understand the Bible, I mean, that's an understatement. They don't understand the Bible. I mean, you know, when you look at what the Bible says versus what people say it says, you find out two different things. But when we're studying the Bible, we're looking for the truth of God's Word. We always look at all the references. We never isolate a passage of Scripture. We never isolate a verse of Scripture. For instance, I'll read you a verse, and then we're going to read a verse in John 7. It's the most misquoted verse in the Bible. I'm going to quote the whole thing. "Judge not, that you be not judged." That's Matthew 7:1. And he says there, he said, "With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet it, shall be measured to you again." So whatever you put out there, you're going to get it back. But don't complain when you get it back, because what you sow, you reap. And when you judge, you get judged. I'm okay as long as we ain't talking about fat people. I can't tell people thou shalt not be fat and a fat. See, that'd be wrong on my part. But you skinny people, I'd let you have it. Okay? You can't judge me back on that one. Are you listening, Micah? Good. And Anyway, when we look at stuff like this, though, judge not. That's all you hear of people. Judge not. Judge not. Judge not. Have you ever considered there might be more to it than what you know? Because what we're reading in Luke, we read verses 1 through 4, the judge is standing in the temple. And when you get to Revelation chapter 20, he's the one sitting on the throne judging all the people that rejected him. They, according to Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yep. Make all you laughs and jokes now, because there's going to be a time when you get to stand before him and present your case. However, you're already being lost walking in the door. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 7, I want you to look at verse 24. "Judge not according to appearance." Hey, that goes to that other Bible verse they say, "The Lord looketh not on the," what? Was it, huh? Outward appearance. Yeah. Judge not. The Lord looks not out appearance. Judge not according to appearance. But there's more than what I just said there. Like I said, we can't take it out of context. We can't isolate it. Got to get the whole thing. But judge what?
Righteous judgment.
Why would there be a thing there that says judge righteous judgment if God didn't intend for you to do that very thing right there? Judge righteous judgment. Not half the judgment. Not partial judgment. Judge righteous judgment. And what you and I have to understand about judging things, people, whatever it is we got to come to this one conclusion. We got to do what he said. Now, righteous is not an act. Righteous, that's a person. That's Jesus Christ. So according to the Word of God, I don't judge over Matthew 7 lest I want to be judged. Whatever I mete out is going to be meted back. Over here he says, judge righteous judgment. So what does that tell me to do? I need to take what I know about the Word of God and my own conversion according to the Word of God and make sure that everybody I talk to has what I got, and if they ain't got it, I need to tell them about it.
Right.
For instance, how many of you have used the bathroom today? Raise your hands. This ain't a trick question. Raise your hands. You ain't used the bathroom all day today. Not all. We got one won't raise their hands. Out and out rebel over there. Just so everybody knows, it was that right there, okay? Anyway, when you walked up to that sink, you had to make a judgment call. And what was that judgment call? Whether to wash your hands or not. And then you further delved deeper into the scriptures and found out this. You had to judge whether you were going to turn that one on or that one on. Because at my house, if you turn that one on first, right in there in the bathroom, you'll be in the emergency room before you know it, because that sucker comes out at 150 degrees, feels like. I have no problem with that. That's a good problem to have in the bathroom.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Amen. And when I look at that, that's a judgment call. Me and Brother Fane went to the Philippines. He don't know this, but when he was laying down asleep one night, I had to make a judgment call. I had to go in there and I said, do I turn the lights on? Will it wake Fane up? He didn't wake up. Then I had to figure out whether in the Philippines that the hot's on the left side and the cold's on the right side, just like it is in America. Because I know they ain't got no building codes over there like ours. I figured that out riding into the place first time. I said, I got to find out what to do. And then I had to find out this. If I turned the wrong one on, would my screaming wake Fane up? So you got to think about all this stuff when you got somebody in the room with you. He never woke up, so I made the right call, but I had to make a judgment call on it.
Right.
I'm glad for all the people that looked at me before I got saved, made a judgment call, and said, you know what, I need to tell him about Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad of that.
Amen.
I can tell you of all the five people that really sat down with me of the Bible and showed me why I was lost, and I kept denying it all the way up to the day I got saved. I'm thankful for those people. I'm glad they were judgmental. But I go back to Luke 21. I said all that to set up this thing right here. Jesus is going to make a judgment call, but his judgment call is far greater than what we can do. And the reason being, we can only see the outside of a person. That's all we know. I've ran into some people of my life that if you'd asked me what I thought they did, I'd have thought they were, trash farmers or something, the way they dressed, because they was all trashy looking, had dirty clothes on, old rickety car, it looked like one of them Beverly Hillbillies car driving like this right here, you know. And then you get talking to them, they're worth millions of dollars. Brother Ben, you before Roger Milliken died, if you looked at him and you didn't know who he was, you'd never thought he was Roger Milliken that owned all them textile plants. He was the textile giant of the South. His board members got together and took up a collection when Lisa's Uncle Richard was on that board and said, we got to buy him a pair of glasses. He just looks bad walking in with that tape on two or three parts of his glasses because he's too cheap to buy a set of glasses. Ain't that something? They asked Sam Walton, they said, listen, we need to buy you a Mercedes-Benz or something to come to the work in now. Man's a multi-millionaire. Oh, start off one store. Never quit dressing like he did before he opened that first store. And they'll tell you this out there in Bentonville. You go to that museum, and it's in his biography. And they said we want to get you a Mercedes. We want to get you one of them Porsches or something. It just don't look right. You showing up with that pickup truck with that dog carrier on the back of it. He said, well, Roy, old Roy would look pretty funny riding around in a Mercedes in the back of that thing, don't you think?
Right.
By the way, that's the dog food named after his dog.
Yeah.
Don't judge outward appearance. Mm-hmm. At least talk to somebody before you go up to them and start slamming them for whatever it is.
Yeah.
And listen to this. While I'm saying this, let me go ahead and say this. This is for you pink, blue, and crazy-haired people that said, don't judge me. I'm talking to you. I got to hear what you say, and it won't take long, will it? You'll be like Peter, thy speech betrayeth thee.
Yep.
My wife had a video she looked at, and this girl walked up to a man that was out there trying to talk to people about the Lord. She said, my boyfriend's, what was it, uncle's, how was it? You tried to pick a fight with him. So here comes 80 pounds soaking wet, pink, green, and blue hair coming down. Let me tell you something. I would never send that little procession of some little girl wasn't kin to me to go take a fight, take up my fight with somebody. I'd just fight and lose myself before I do that.
Amen.
I like the guy's response. You know what it was? Hold on, I got a video. We'll see what happened. She whirled around and took off. Why would they do that? Nothing happened like they said.
Yeah.
People lie.
Amen.
Yeah. Judge righteous judgment. Do they have Christ? Don't deal with them pink, blue, and orange hair. Don't deal with that. Deal with Christ.
Right.
And I see how Christ deals with people because he gets to the heart of matter in Luke 21. Here's some words about this widow that shows that when the judge deals with them, there's a whole new thing going on. Watch this. Look at what the Lord saw in verse 1 in Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. What was he doing? Now watch this. If he had to look up, the Son of God was in the temple praying. He was praying. That's the first thing caught my attention about this passage, that he was in there praying, and while he is praying in the house of God, he looks up. And what he looks up and see, he saw, it says, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Jesus was praying, but the look he gave was piercing because he looked at them and knew every one of them's name, who they were. And when it said he saw the rich men, he already knew they was rich.
Yeah.
I've seen people come in the house of God and they're well off and they could literally buy and sell everybody here. I've preached in places where people would get into a prayer room and the crease on their pants and the cost of their clothing was more than the car I drove up in. It's amazing how religion will draw people. And it's amazing how rich people like these guys will come in and instead of tithing, they will tip God and they'll tip God less than what they'll tip that waitress down there. I've watched people over the years at this church making thousands of dollars a week drop $5 in the plate like they're giving, doing God a favor. $5, $5, $5. And then brag about it. I like to put something in every time the plate goes by. I went and looked at their tithing record one time, and yes, for all you watching, I do that. If you're going to be a deacon, Sunday school teacher, something here, you're going to tithe. I'm sorry. I don't want your God-robbing self down here breaking in the church house and everything else and ripping out the offering plate and all that. And if you're going to be treasurer, you're going to have to get your credit checked. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Been through that, done that, ain't doing that no more without it.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
They already mad at me. Don't let me get mad at you. They can't even see you. But I see these people saying this stupid stuff. And they'll say, well, I just don't understand why that matters. It matters because of this. If you don't tell somebody about it, they'll never know about it. I believe rich people can go to heaven. But there's no sense in you being rich here and being poor there because you was tight with God here.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I say this with sincerity. It wasn't me that knew those rich men, it was him.
Right.
He looked at them piercingly, knowing what they was. He saw right through them. And when you watch people do stuff like that, you see the next words about the widow, because the next thing you see is what the Lord saw up here, but you see who the Lord saw in verse 2, he says, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. The uniqueness of her person is the fact that Jesus Christ looked up from praying and he looked at her. How are you when God looks your way? She didn't even know who he was, maybe. She may not have known who that was over there praying. But she knew enough of this, no matter who was watching, she was doing what she was going to do anyway, because that's what she was going to do. And knowing that, she is the uniqueness of a person, the Lord also observed something that's very important to us tonight. He looked at the uniqueness of her purse. I don't feel that it's right in a church for 5% of the people to carry 95% of the offering. I think that's a shame. I think that's ungodly. And I don't care what you give. I think you ought to give what you're supposed to give.
Amen.
I don't know what 10% of your income is. I've never asked for a W-2 in my life. Except for my own, I guess. But when people come in and they want to know that you've got that envelope ready before you get to the house of God, if I was called around and said, now, Brother Rick, have you got your envelope ready? Brother Fane, have you got your envelope? Brother Trey, have you got your envelope ready? You say, I don't think people do that. I know of three that do. Got to have that envelope ready. Except they'll pronounce this way, that envelope. I don't care how you pronounce it. It's still none of your business right now.
Yeah,
man. Amen.
Amen.
So wait a minute, preacher. You just said you looked at tithing records. That's after you're already here and you want to do something.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But I see that he looked at that widow and he never said, whoa, before you come in the temple, you got that envelope ready? He just looked up and saw her. He saw those rich men, he saw her, and he saw the uniqueness of what she gave. Do you know that before you ever put it in the plate, the Lord knows what you give?
Uh-huh.
And knows why you gave it.
Yep.
That's the whole lesson of what we're looking at here, is God not only knows what you give, but he knows why you give it, and that is the biggest problem we have.
Mm.
See, the uniqueness of her purse, it says that she cast in thither two mites. You say, what does that mean in American money? Probably, maybe a nickel. Maybe. I don't know the exact conversion rate. I just know this. It was not enough that any of those rich people there would have dare thought about what she was giving. They would have looked at that nickel and brushed it off the plate, let some poor person pick it up off the floor, for they'd been bothered with it. That's what kind of money you're looking at. And I find out that people like her, they're observed by the Lord, but so's the other crowd. It works both ways. God, people listen and say, don't judge me. God knows my heart. You better be careful about that statement because he does really know what you're doing.
Right.
I would rather one of you judge me and judge me harshly than deal with him judging me even fairly. Because he's not going to miss a single detail on the thing. And that's one thing that people don't understand, is that Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to suffer, bleed, and die for them, when they get saved, he examines your whole body of work from the time you got saved to the time you go to heaven, and that depends on what you have to give him over there.
Yeah.
He said, put up treasure where moth and rust doth not corrupt. When we put it up down here, somebody break in and take all of it. I've heard people tell me horror stories of how that's happened to them. That's a shame. I've heard people say, I'd rather deal with a thief than a liar. I would rather deal with neither, if you have to be honest.
Amen.
But I do know that when we get into the passage of Scripture where he's singled out a poor widow woman over the rest of this crowd, if we didn't have verse 3 and 4, this would be a very unfair story. Because he didn't tell what they gave. But he's already told exactly the exact amount she gave.
Yep.
And we look on down, we see another word here, and we see what the Lord said in verse 3 and 4. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now he has really embarrassed this woman. He's not only told what she gave, but he stated her worth to his disciples. That's what she is worth, two mites, and she just handed everything over to the Lord. Say, well, if all I have was a nickel, I'd give a nickel and just be for the glory of God. But what if it's $50,000 is what you have? Would you give it to God then? Well, no, I think a $100 bill would be good then, don't you? Yeah, see how the thing works when people get like that? I have people call me all the time, will you pray I win the lottery? This is a true story. Will you pray I win the lottery? I asked them, why would you want me to pray for that? Well, if I get $300 million, I'll throw some down at your church. I might even put some in your pocket, preacher. Really? Why don't you give it all then? It's okay if it's 5 cents. But if it's $300 million, we've got to talk about that now. Yeah, remember Brother Lance used to sing down at Brother Sammy's at 12th string guitar, that guy? The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. They don't want to sing that song right there. Because that song is more true than probably anything in the hymn book we got. God will bless you and God will take it away. He'll put it back and he'll take it away. I know people right now have lost everything they had 4 or 5 times. And they still okay, still love Jesus. Sometimes they're casting in 20,000, sometimes they're casting in 2 mites, but they're casting. They said, Lord, it's all yours anyway.
Amen.
We're not told how she turned out after this, but we know that she gave everything she had.
Right.
And I know this, out of the rich men that walked by, I'm sure they gave more than 2 mites, but the Lord didn't single them out and talk about them. He talked about her, and here's why. He not only shows what her stated worth was, he showed her stated wealth in verse 4, because he said, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. See, the abundance of their gift, they had so much that they could do away with several little bits of it, and everything was fine. And the treasurer could say, man, that guy gives such, says, preacher, you ought to make him a deacon. That's why I made Micah and Jason deacons, because they give so much. Me and Brother Fane's the poor of the crowd, so we let them do all the giving. If you ever wonder, that's why we done it. That's why. Oh, that ain't why we done it? Okay. Maybe Brandy lied to me then, Kaylin. I don't know. But I know this much. When we look at what these men gave, their abundance is what they gave out of. And most folks will treat God like that. As long as I got it, Lord, you can have it. But if it's cut and tight this week, I don't know about it, Lord. You do know that God's the God of the living and not of the dead, right? Do you know that the Bible teaches us he takes care of us? And if he can feed, according to Matthew chapter 6, if he can feed them birds out there who don't have a McDonald's or a paycheck, he can feed you.
That's right.
In fact, let me say this. All the people I know that poor mouth are all fat like me. So what's that? That's God's joke on people. I ain't got nothing. You got some extra weight on you. What happened? God not taking care of you? Looks like he's taking good care of you.
That's all right.
In fact, we got to go to exercise places and diets just to get it off of us because God's blessing us so much. I wonder sometimes, he talks about, for all these of their abundance cast in the offerings of God. Boy, it gets awful quiet and I'm preaching on money. I'm good with that because that means you are really zeroing in what I'm saying. I'm trying to be as enunciated as I can. I want you to understand. But do understand this. I don't give a flip what you give. That's between you and God. But make sure God knows what you're doing because he knows what you're doing. And don't try to impress nobody in any church or any preacher, anybody else, what you do. God is the final judge on the matter, and he sees right through everything we do. Listen, I know people right now that they wouldn't have nothing they have except the Lord blessed them. They come from nothing. Now they got a lot, and the reason they got a lot, when they had nothing, they're storing 2 mites in the thing. That's what you do. You forget all the financial advice in the world. You tie a 10 cent on every dollar of faith, but the whole time you save, God will trust you with anything he needs to trust you with. That's a fact. When it comes to missions giving, it don't matter what. If you give a dollar, you give $100 a week, whatever it is the Lord tells you to do, He's going to do it through you. He will. And for that bunch that says, nah, I don't believe that. Of course you don't. That's why you're sitting where you at whining all the time and complaining about everything under the sun. And why when you get to heaven, you ain't going to have nothing. Because you're just trying to nitpick and swallow camels and strain at gnats the whole time. That is that crowd. And when I look at what the Lord said, He stated her worth, He stated her wealth, He saw the abundance of their gift, but He saw the all of her gift. Look what it says in verse 4. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And there's a great big period at the end of that. We're told nothing more of her. We're not told how she turned out in life. We're not told what happened after this. We're not told if the Lord blessed her. We're not told any of that. But we got the scripture. Look over Galatians chapter 6. We got the Bible. You know what's wrong with people? They don't believe this book. I ain't telling you to take all your income throw it in the church house tonight. I'm not. That's not what I tell you to do. But I do know this. What I'm about to read to you is so true that if you did it, you wouldn't go without. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. So if you do that to, listen, if you take everything you got and you give it so that God will bless you in your flesh, you'll reap corruption in that flesh. That's why I said, I'm not telling you to do that because there's a catch to this stuff. But he said, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He's not talking about buying your salvation there either. But if God tells you to do something and he gives you scriptural principles for it, you go do it knowing God's going to take care of you no matter what.
Amen.
He always does. There's never come a time which God sat in heaven and said, well, I know they did that, but I don't know if I can afford to keep them up or not. He owns everything.
Yeah.
One day this thing's going to be wiped away and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth and going to own that one too.
Yep.
And what, if there's taters and them hills on that planet, they're going to be, listen, they're going to be his anyway and the hills too. Just like they are right now.
Yeah.
And I know when I look at that statement, he says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. If I take the spiritual principles given by the Spirit of God, the spiritual men that wrote down spiritual words and God's spirits in every one of them, that's called inspiration, and we get into that thing and we study what it says, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Right.
I had a man tell me the other day he wished God would give me $2 million. So I don't know about that. He said, why? I said, well, today may not be the day I can handle all that. So would you spend it? I'd probably find a way to spend it. I don't know if I can handle it or not. You seen them trucks, them lights on the inside and outside wheels, and they do all this stuff right here when they're going down the road? That's probably what I'd do right there. I seen one in Blacksburg the other day. Sucker setting this high off the ground and he'd come up and come down. I said, man, I'd like to have one of them. Be at the red light talking about zzz, 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 zzz. Don't judge. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord sees fit for me to have that, he'll know when I'm ready to have it. Because I trust him. Will the judge of all the earth do right? Of course he will. And when you need it, he'll send it your way. And if I check out a planet Earth and never have it, I've been taken good care of. I ain't worried about all that.
Yep.
All these missionaries that go off in the mission field, first thing they say, what you going to do for a job, for income? And not, well, I'm going to trust the Lord. I don't know about all that. That's why God called him, not you.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to preach, I mean, how you going to feed your family? Same way I fed them before. He did it. And don't you think for a minute God ain't watching what you do. If you're sitting there trying to do it on your own, he ever intends to use you, he'll take everything you've got and bring you down nothing. So you start begging him to send it. So, Lord, I'm sorry I wasn't asking you to send it before. Now I'm asking you. I've seen people get so uppity in their job, they think, boy, I got this made. I got this licked. I'm doing all this. I'm doing it. God, break them down like that. I watched people in one plant, and I won't call their names because I won't embarrass nobody, but I watched them depend on a plant in this town for years. They walked into work one day to a pink slip. The whole outfit shut down in the day. All the machinery still sitting there. I guess the cloth's still in the machines. One day, gone. So why'd that happen? I would be willing to say them people wasn't tithing. And you take a bunch of people that saved in a place not tithing, I hope you ain't working there. Yeah. Hope you're working with fake lost people that say they saved, because if they really are saved, God may check in on them one day.
Yeah, right.
Took it all. Took every bit of it. And you know what he used to do it with? A Southern Baptist that was elected to president. His name was Bill Clinton from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. North American Free Trade Act, all the textiles, gone. Gone. They ain't come back yet. And they're so worried about this stuff. Well, it's cheaper at Walmart now. Yeah, but you do it like this and it pulls apart.
Yeah.
And right now it costs more now than it did then.
Yeah.
Remember that other guy's president, he kind of drove the prices up real bad. Happens all the time.
Yep.
Why? Remember that thing where we said it was a Christian nation? We lied. We're not. We never claimed to be. That's what they keep telling us. I wonder if we read this book right here and read the Constitution, how much they'd read together. You could see that one was founded off the other one. And then they're going to go against the principle of this book. They'll reap corruption. He said, but if you're eating the Spirit, he said, in due season. You know what that wood? I'm going to tell you what happened to that wood. And we'll find out from heaven. I'm right. I can't say, but I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm just going to tell you. Based on Galatians 6, verse 7, 8, and 9, I'm going to tell you what happened to her. Her season came.
Yep.
So what season? Due season. Not winter, not fall, not spring. Due season. One of them guys you said on Sam Allen's platform, Brother Marion up there. I heard him preach at a meeting down in Georgia one time. I was sitting there and I preached before him. He preached next. And I was sitting there listening to him. I told him after he preached, I said, that's the best message I've ever heard on the subject. He said, all you got to do is wait for due season. Due season. Because God is a debtor to no man.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, I know for a fact some of you in this church, because you've done what you've done for the Lord, your heart was in the right place, you sowed to the Spirit, you're better off now than you were 10 years ago. Why? Season come in. There's a friend of mine from high school. I ought to take you down there and let you see his truck that he had from high school. He just restored it. I forget, it's an 84 or 85, but it looks just like he did back in high school. You know the guy. That guy's got that farm store. Listen, he cuts all them fields up right near the house, but they don't cut them every week. Cuts them when they do. Are you listening to me yet? Who makes them things grow? Who sends the rain? Because they ain't got a sprinkler system set up out there.
Yep.
That's my rich deputy white neighbors do that. But somehow them fields grow every year.
Yeah.
There's one down there I ride by, and I think it's barley they have out there in that thing. And I like to ride by at about 6, 7 o'clock in the afternoon. You see about a dozen deer out there. And they all do this at the same time, but you right by the go. And every year they harvest that thing. There's one down there near where the car place is on 11. You come down on the left. It's a bunch of corn out there. You know what happens every year? They harvest that thing. Without one sprinkler system running the thing, without fertilizer out there every week and all this other stuff, every time God lets it grow. And what he does for that, he'll do for you. And what he done for her, he'll do for you.
Amen.
You've heard the story about the little girl that's passing the plate around. And she took the plate out of the usher's hand and she set it down and stood in that plate. That usher said, what are you doing? She said, I'm giving God my all. I ain't saying get to jump in the plate tonight. But I am saying this. Put your all in. I ain't talking about your money. Put you in.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. Folks, as CEO Christians, never go far for the Lord.
Right.
They got just enough religion to soothe their conscience and just enough to get them in hell. Mm-hmm. But tonight, you put your all in, and God will use you on this side of the grave like He never uses anybody else. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are. If you are willing to give your all to the Lord, and I ain't talking about your money, I'm talking about you. He'll look up. He'll look up. Because that same Jesus that's praying in the temple, according to this Bible, is praying right now. Praying right now. He's in heaven at the Father's right hand making intercession. I ain't worried about getting him stand up. I want him to look up. You want him to look up at you? Just put you all in. He's watching. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we love you.